When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking! Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome to another Yellow Army podcast.
From North Korea.
From North Korea. We'll talk about that in a minute. Rich, I was hoping that we would have something positive to talk about this week.
We can try and find some positives.
I mean, this is traditionally the glass half full podcast, which I know sends people round the bend.
Yeah.
But it's very, very hard at the moment. It was another poor display on Saturday against Slough.
There were points in the game where you thought, okay, this is changing, but
not enough of them. At the end of the day,
it was 4-3. Whatever. You could, yeah, that's three times in the last four games that they've let in four goals.
Yeah.
It's not.
And we led three times and allowed Slough to get. We'll talk about that in some more detail later on. We all wanted to go to Taunton on Tuesday night.
Well, not everyone.
Well, I was looking forward to a game of football.
It was horrible, that weather, wasn't it?
It was.
So the paper deadline is on Tuesday afternoon, sort of late, and I was sitting there with a back page talking about the fact that last night they were in Taunton, and thinking, come on,
just make a decision.
Call it off.
Yeah. Well, they said they were going to do it in the morning, and it was after 12 o'clock.
It was better in the morning, wasn't it, though? And I'm sure that once that rain really... I spoke to Nick Broderick for the back page piece, and he's in Somerset, and he was saying, it's peeing it down outside at the moment. I can't see the game being on. And an hour later, it was off.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And two really difficult away trips this week.
Yeah.
Saturday, intensely difficult away trip, I would say. Tuesday, a game that we should win. I had a look on the Farnborough website this morning.
Yeah.
It says on there that it's comedy night at Farnborough tomorrow. I think they've got the date wrong.
They've got
it says
date
Tuesday,
wrong.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yes.
Shortle.
Okay. Gary Johnson's press conference this morning.
Yep.
One, two, three, four of us at Gary Johnson's press conference this morning.
Unusual.
The press was well represented this morning.
So I mean, there have been weeks in the last couple of months when there's been one of us.
You'll hear different voices. You'll hear Ian from the club. You'll hear Alan from Radio Devon. You'll hear me and you. And you'll hear Tim Herbert from the Torbay Weekly.
Yeah.
So those are the
I don't think you hear me. I think I just let you all get on with it. And then I ask some off-the-record questions.
I know. Let's have a listen. We'll be back, as ever, on the other side of Gary Johnson.
So, Gaffer, looking back at last Saturday's loss to Slough, three times in the lead, must have been very frustrating on the touchline, what to have killed that game off.
Yeah, it was. We was a couple of minutes away from a decent victory, 3-2. And at that point, Jarves came on, so everybody was happy, and it was a great cheer for him, which is great. We've all been looking forward to getting him back. And then they did put some of the pressure for the last. In fact, we had a couple of chances in that last 4 or 5 minutes, but so did they, and they took theirs. And so it was, in the end, we were gutted, all of us, because it would have been a decent day's work if we'd have won it 3-2, because every time they came back, we went ahead. So it was good to get the three goals, but not good to let four in. And we're trying to address that as we go on. You know, every day we address it. And so we've got to be better in our defending, and we shouldn't have to score three goals to score four or five goals to win a game. So we've got to address that for sure.
As you alluded to there, return of Aaron Jarvis, another one coming back from the injury list. We obviously saw Asa go down with a bit of a knock last week. Any news on that?
Yeah, he'll be out for probably a couple of weeks. It's a calf injury. It's a shame, he won't be playing for the next couple of weeks.
Now we are on a bad one at the moment. How does a manager of your credibility, your experience in the game, I'm sure you've had many situations like this before, how do you turn these things around?
$1 million question. You keep believing, keep going, because just before that poor run, we had a very good run. And we've had to bring in players that are not used to us, our system, used to other players around them. And we're trying very quickly to get them as a unit. And we don't seem to have quite got that just yet with this new group. Some of them that have come back from injury, they probably haven't been 100%, but how do you get them to 100%? You have to play them. And as you say, we just got to believe in each other. Players are as disappointed as everyone else that we're on this little bit of a run, but we have to stay positive because there's 15 games left. There's still a lot of points to go. And I know people are a bit frustrated with us, but what we're doing is what we got to do, and then hopefully we can turn it around and get a bit of a run together. I know we say that after every defeat, but what else can you say? We're working hard. As long as you're working hard and you're believing in each other, then the management, staff, directors, some supporters, most supporters, maybe not, I don't know, but unfortunately, the atmosphere is a little bit down, and we like it to be up a bit, but that's the nature of a losing run as well. So we'll keep going, and as I said before, we try and win these people back as we go along.
Tottenham game got obviously postponed on Tuesday. Has that given the squad a chance to a bit of rest and recuperation, as well as being able to do some more stuff out on the training room?
Yeah, we've had a few days extra training, so that's quite good. Some that have been playing with little niggles, gives them a few days more to get back to having no feelings of, I wonder if my hamstring's going to go or my calf. But so it's given us that little respite, but it'll come again later because there's not many dates that we can fit games in anymore. So, we were disappointed that the game was postponed. Make no mistake about that. We wanted to play the game, but obviously weather conditions and their pitch situation is a difficult one.
This weekend then, Braintree start off two tough away games, Farnborough next Tuesday. But Braintree on a good run at the moment, we've won four of their last five. Going to be tough cookies to crack, like they were when we beat them 2-1 at Playmore back in August.
Yeah, if you're not playing at the top of your game, then they're all tough cookies. But so that's why we need to get it going and make it more comfortable for ourselves, that bit of confidence that the players can give to each other, the supporters can give to the players can give to the supporters, that sort of all-round club confidence needs to come back. And two tough games, you don't mind tough games when you need to get a result, because it focuses you on how important these games are.
Aaron Jarvis, is he ready to start, do you think?
He's ready to start. Whether he'll finish is another thing. when you've got a sort of like a smallish squad, it's, it is getting bigger, which is why, you know, we brought Dwayne in as another striker. We haven't picked the team yet for Saturday, but he looked very sharp when he came on, so I was really pleased with that. It was a, it created a, you know, a bit more of a positive atmosphere because everybody was pleased to see him, which was great. We're pleased to see him, and but we, I'm not sure that we're not sure he's not sure where he's got 90 minutes in him, but you know, it's so we'll wait and see. We'll see how he comes in and how he feels, and, but I think he's ready to go now.
I mean, we all know what a good striker he is at this level, the goals he brings, that sort of thing. The fact that he may be ready to start on Saturday, does that mean you have a little bit of a luxury of being able to concentrate a little bit more on the defensive areas that you've been talking about?
Well, we don't neglect the defensive areas. You know, it's a game, it's a team game, but there's individuals in that team game. So you have to coach everybody individually and in the team tactics, team philosophy and all that sort of thing. Of course, we're not the only team that does that. Everybody else does that as well. And sometimes things don't quite go right to you and sometimes they do go right for you. We've got to fight our way out of this poor run of games, or poor run of results. And I think we'll do that. And I've said that every week so far. But until there's, you know, it's impossible to get into those playoffs, we'll keep fighting.
You've been a manager for a long time. Is this the most difficult period you've gone through?
It's one of them, yeah. I mean, it's been very good times, and there's been times when you have to fight out of a problem. Even in the successful times, you have some games, some periods of games where you're having runs of defeat. You just got to make sure that you get it right come the business end of the season, which is now. And we've got to get back up into those playoffs as quickly as possible, and I still believe that we can.
I think with experienced players, they're aware of the saying, don't get too high when you win, don't get too low when you lose. Is that something that younger players don't necessarily appreciate? You know, they perhaps do get a bit too down sometimes when you're on this sort of run.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're disappointed. They're definitely obviously disappointed because they all want to play well for themselves, the team, the supporters, you know, the club. But, and I see it in their training, that they're desperate to turn it around. They see it in their management team that we're desperate to turn it around. And only they can tell you people, as I can, but you might believe them more, that we work very hard on what we're doing. And we're not out of it. And I still maintain that. And I think this group of lads will turn it around pretty quick.
What do you talk about Aaron, injury-wise, otherwise, how are you looking?
Asa, as we said, is probably not going to be available. The week that we've had, where we've been able to train a couple more days rather than have the game on the Tuesday, means that we didn't get any injuries throughout the week. So we're pretty much as we were, not to only Aaron coming back, and and just him coming back really, and everyone else who's been injured is still not available.
Okay, best of luck. Thank you, Gary.
It's been a long, bad run, and as you mentioned just there, there's no point scoring three goals if you then don't let four in at the other end. Mm. What's been going on in training this week that's going to turn that around?
Well, you have to, you get your shape, which we always do anyway. You've got an opposition that are trying very hard to break you down as well. So you don't always get that in training. But you know, you just have to keep faith in the lads. We've had a couple of bad games, as in the 4-0 and so on and so forth. You just keep working, and you know what it's like. Sometimes you can not play well and win a game, Sometimes you can play well and not win a game. You know, I thought we played all right against Slough, but I thought they played all right as well. And so that's where we are. I'll give you the tactics and I'll tell you exactly what we're doing, but we'll be here some time. So you have to as well get the individual to pick up when he needs to, tackle when he needs to, not leave anybody free in the area. And there's all lots of different exercises that you have to do, practices that you have to do to make sure that that comes out on a Saturday or a Tuesday.
And bringing injured players back in, as you have done with Aaron, and there are other injured players to come. We haven't talked about this for a couple of seasons, but does that kind of make the case for having some kind of reserve team where you could give players 90 minutes, competitive minutes, before you actually have to bring them on?
Yeah, that's the perfect scenario. You know, years ago, when there used to be the football combination where kids could play with pros that were coming back from injury, but now you've got the under-21s, and yeah, it would be great, but some clubs haven't got that capacity to have two teams. So what we have to do, we have to create that 11v11 sometimes during the week for the injured players, and to work on your players that are in the first team already. So when they come into us from injury, they're always fit. You know, they've worked hard in the gym, they've worked hard on the training pitch, like a pre-season. And then it's just that match sharpness, which is so important. And you only get that from matches. And so, that is something that ideally you could have. But there's not too many.
It's difficult with the leagues, I suppose. Isn't it? Putting a team in the South Devon League was discussed a few seasons ago, but didn't happen.
No. Well, you know, it's a difficult one, and it is something that would be great if you could, but at this moment in time, you can't.
Yeah, I was just going to go on from Guy's point. I remember a few years ago there was real talk about putting a team in the Peninsula League, which is a decent level, and I know Argyle did it, and it's quite a nice bridge for the 18s as well. I know it's sort of a bit fanciful now, but would it be beneficial if your 18s got a bit of men's football rather than that huge jump up into playing National League South?
It would, but the situation at this club is our youth team is, is alongside the South Devon College team.
Yeah.
So they play enough games as it is, playing for Torquay United and playing for the college team. So you wouldn't get many of those boys being able to play three games in a week. So that's, we wouldn't be able to do that. We'd have to change the structure to getting more professionals in. The lads would have to be sort of like apprentices, if you like, that part, the young lads. That it would be difficult to change that structure right this minute, whether we do or they do in the future, I don't know. But it'd be great. I say the combination used to be fantastic when I was at Watford.
Would there be any scope for perhaps the stronger 18s physically to go on a quick loan at somewhere like Wrexham, Butland?
Well, we try and do that. But even those, the lads have still got to play in the Torquay team. And then, for instance, we've had lads going out on loan. They've got to be ready, of course, because the team that wants to loan these lads might feel, they've got enough. They might come and say, have you got chances? So at the moment, no, we haven't, because they're playing for two other teams, i.e. Torquay and the college. So they can't, A, they don't want to lose their players. B, we do it. Yeah. I mean, we did it with nearly all the lads season and season before that. But teams have got to want to take these players as well, or need them.
Yeah. It's tricky, is the balance with the college as well, with their commitment.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, thank you.
But, I will say that today we got four or five of the boys coming in today and tomorrow. we blood them in by putting them on the bench just so they get that experience of the dressing room. that's what we try and do, and then it doesn't become too much of a shock to them on and off the field if they need to be around us. They're doing all right at the moment, the kids. You know, they've had a few good results, and we're going to have to make decisions on a few of them pretty soon. But as I say, we get them into training and we see them. We'll probably play the odd 11v11 with them and just see which ones are up to scratch.
Okay, good to hear from Gary this morning. Just rewind a little bit to the introduction that we did to the podcast. Let's deal with that North Korea thing to begin with. Somebody said on social media, sent me a message over the weekend saying, looking forward to your podcast, basically, but it's all getting a bit North Korea. It's all a bit propaganda.
Really?
For the club. Obviously, I'm going to say that I don't agree with that, but no. I don't think we're asking the same questions that all the fans are asking. There isn't a question that the fans have asked that we haven't asked Gary Johnson. We haven't asked him in quite the same terms. We've asked him maybe a little bit more diplomatically, but we asked him specifically last week, are you going, and if not, why not?
And he said no, and this is the reason.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the big question. That's the burning question.
So that was the reason that I wrote that column this week, and I got accused of being a Gary Johnson apologist, which I don't even know what that means. I mean, if you actually think about that term, what does it mean?
I mean, we do have a relationship with the club. We do have a relationship with Gary because we've been seeing the whites of Gary's eyes every Thursday morning for the last 5.5 years.
Yeah.
So that's the background. But I don't think that we've shirked the questions.
And also, once he's given an answer, you can't keep asking the same question hoping for a different answer.
See, that's the point. It's not the questions that people don't like, it's the answers that people don't like, and I get that, but we're trying to do what we can.
But asking the same question over again, are you going, are you going, are you going, no, 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 no.
And he said it again this morning.
Yeah. So my column that I wrote last week, on Tuesday, was literally explaining the point that we have asked Gary if he's going anywhere. He says no. The board don't seem to want him to go anywhere, so they say no. So carrying on with the Gary out chance all the way through games and affecting players, younger players, through that kind of horrible atmosphere, it's not worth doing it.
There is a feeling that going to a game, you feel a little bit apprehensive going to a game because you don't quite know how it's going to go. You know that the protesters are going to exercise their absolute right to protest.
No. I'm not. At no point in that column did I say that. excuse me. Should they not be protesting? It's my opinion that they perhaps shouldn't be protesting. I've not said they shouldn't protest. Mm. I'm saying that my opinion is I don't think it's a good idea. Right at the end of the column, I say, but everyone has their own opinion.
Yeah.
I think half the problem with some of the comments about the column on the Devon Live posting on Facebook, so underneath that, is that Devon Live write the headline and the preamble that goes on. I think people read that, and I think quite a few people then don't even click onto the comment. Click onto the column and read it. Yeah.
That's the way people consume.
That is the way they read the headlines on Facebook and then don't actually click through to the column. Now, I'm sure most people did click through to the column and start reading it, but I wonder how many people got through to the end.
Yeah, but and also as for asking questions of Gaming International, everybody knows we've done that. We've sent them questions. We've asked for sit down interviews. I don't
even get a reply from George Osborne. George Osborne.
George Edwards. Person.
Yeah. I don't even get a reply from George Edwards. So,
We've asked the same questions. I think in a small way, whereas the Supporters Trust did it in a big way to persuade the club to have that online forum, which was useful. They may have to do it again. And the elephant in the room is that there will come a point, if we carry on losing football matches, there will come a point where the board and Gary will have to decide, if he's the right man to take us forward. I mean, that will come. I say
in my column that it will come at the end of the season if we don't go up.
I'm not sure it will. I think if we keep losing matches.
And I'm not forecasting that we're going to keep losing matches. No. I mean, we're not going to go on a run of 20 matches, or was it 15? So it would be 20.
Yeah.
20. Well, yeah. I mean, if you just keep on losing them, then my argument's dead anyway, because you've got to do something. But I don't think we're just going to keep on losing them.
We are at the moment. It's since December the 16th when we were second in the league.
Yep.
But this is
the second time this season we've gone from second in that league down.
We had a slump in the Dartford game after that awful game at Dartford.
Yep.
But this one has been that was a little bit of a freak because of the other results that happened around us. We lost and all the teams below us won because we picked up again the following week and we were back up to sixth or seventh the following week.
Yeah, now I'm talking about earlier on in the season when we were second, we dropped right down.
Yeah.
So it's the second time we've reached second and then dropped by virtue of losing a lot of games in a row. Mm.
But one win in 10 and we're now 11th in the league.
It's one win in 10, is it?
It's one win in 10. We're 5 points off the playoff places. We're 24 points behind Yeovil.
Yeah.
Everybody says, just forget Yeovil.
Yeah.
But at the start of the season, so many people said, we measure ourselves against Yeovil. Because we came down with them. We should be able to go back up with them. And you measure yourself against Yeovil and we're 24 points shy of where we should be on Yeovil. As I said to Gary, this is a long, bad run.
Yeah.
I don't want... Yeah. We could.
Oh, he knows that, though.
Day. Yeah.
It's not... Yeah. It's stupid.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about last Saturday, then. A game that should have been a thriller. A 4-3 game should have you on the edge of your seat. You should be loving every rock and roll moment of a game like that, but it wasn't. Because every time we went in front, there was that nagging feeling you knew they were going to come back.
Mm.
I thought we might draw it. I didn't think we'd lose it. It should have been a game for Will Jenkins-Davies' scrapbook.
Yeah, it was
should
close,
have been a game,
close to a hat-trick, wasn't he, at one point?
Should have been a game that him and his family could have taken away and loved forever. A couple of goals in the game that ends the losing run.
Yeah.
The first goal was a peach.
Yeah. Lovely turn in the box. Yeah. Both of those... His goals, the other one was a header from a Dean Moxey long throw and he flicked it lovely past the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But both of those goals, he was gifted space by the fact that they were so worried about Achimpong.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. They dropped their armour where Will Jenkins-Davies was concerned.
Because you look at Dwayne Ofori Achimpong playing sometimes, you think, what's he doing? You know, he's not getting on the
end. The defenders know what he's doing. Yeah,
and Lucas Kovalan knew what he was doing at Maidstone. you know, he gets in the way, he gets his elbows in, he pushes and he shoves, and he, like you say, he creates space.
I've got a little tickle in my throat.
You have, haven't you?
I had it last night as well, it wouldn't go away.
Shocker. He creates space for other players, as you say.
A lot of space in that game as well.
Good goal from Tom Lapsley.
Yeah.
It was actually better because obviously where I'm standing over in the sort of just opposite the players' entrance on the pop side, a long way away from it. It was actually better on the TV. It was a better finish than it looked from where I was.
No, it was good.
Good finish. But
they kept coming back.
We lose it.
Yeah.
We defended awfully. Was it their second goal? We had so many chances to clear the ball. Nobody would put their laces through it. And launch it into Marnham Road, which is what it needed. The defending was shocking on Saturday. There's no point in saying otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it's been explained to all of them during the course of this week.
I mean, the fact that we're going back to the four goals in three games, that's... There's something that... The defence hasn't been a major problem up until this point of the season, I don't think. It's been numbers and... individual players not performing as well as they should be. The defence hasn't actually, and with the long run when it was Dean and Ollie as the two centre backs, it was quite effective.
Well, we're missing Ollie, aren't we? We're missing Ollie Thomas in the last couple of games. There was a hole in the middle of the defence where he should have been.
Yeah.
Positives, difficult. Aaron Jarvis coming back on.
See, what a lovely cheer that was. That moment when he came on, everyone suddenly got behind
Jarvis back.
Yeah.
20 games he missed.
Yeah.
Since Western.
Feels like it. 3.5 months.
That was a positive. Jude Boyd, again. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, QPR know what they're doing. He's a decent player. He's good to watch.
Yeah.
I can't think of many other positives apart from the mascot and his little lap of honour.
Yeah, I texted you, didn't I? It was brilliant. It was just before kickoff, wasn't it? Well, Steve Elwood looks after the mascots. Yeah. He's just standing there in the middle of the pitch going, where's he going?
Well, if you didn't see him, he actually did. He ran along the touchline from halfway down into the Boots and Laces corner.
Turned.
Waving to the crowd.
Waving to everyone. Finally realised that Steve was gesturing him back onto the pitch.
That's it. Because the referee and the skippers were ready in the middle to toss the coin and have their pictures taken.
Run.
The mascot was not going to be denied his lap of honour. So that was actually the best thing about the whole afternoon.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, if your parent, grandparent or whatever of the mascot, he made our day.
There was another interesting thing about Saturday. So got there quite early and there was no Slough press. Mm-hmm. And Slough's website team turned up. Five of them.
So you're a one-man print and website team. You do the lot.
Well, for the paper. No, this was the club's, Slough Good Town's
website.
Yeah. So there was five of them. That had to fit in, which is fair enough, but it just means you have to close up and stuff.
Yeah, it did look quite cramped from a distance.
They were a bit... the age of some of these people annoy me a bit, and their knowledge. But anyway, that's beside the point. Slough have employed them to do a job, and it's not my place to tell Slough who they employ. However, the one guy that seemed to be in charge was a pleasant lad. I had a chat with him before the game. Only after the game did I realise, or did it become apparent, that he's a Talk United fan. So he had a nightmare of it. Well, is it nightmare or is it, you know, what kind of day was it for him?
Yeah, it depends. It depends what kind of a professional he is.
Exactly.
He is, yeah.
But so I think one of the young website people shouted out, "Whoa, it's brilliant!" And he shouted back, "Not really."
It was a strange afternoon.
Yeah.
It really was. It was. You should have come away from
it. They did party like they'd just beaten Manchester United in the FA Cup. Yeah. And that says volumes about teams coming to play more, doesn't it? When they react like they did. Their manager reacting like he did to every goal, like it was the FA Cup winner. Yeah. And then they all getting together in front of the 80 or whatever, 90 fans.
They brought a few fair play to them. They were noisy too.
Yeah. It's noisier in that corner, isn't it, than if they were on the away end?
Yeah, I think that's, it is. Yeah,
it's probably not a very clever thing for the club to do. They should put them in the big away end where they're probably not going to be as heard as much.
And when you listen to the soundtrack of the match highlights,
they don't stop.
There's probably a very good reason why there isn't an effects mic over the pop side at the moment.
Yeah.
But all you can hear is the away fans.
Yeah.
So, whatever. And Asa Hall injured.
Yeah.
He'll be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Your heart sinks when players go down, doesn't it?
Sounds like McGavin's going to be all right.
Yeah. I hadn't realised he was injured.
He went off with a bit of a...
Who knows? We should have been at Taunton Tuesday.
Yeah.
We were all G'd up for Taunton.
How are they going to get 20-odd games played on that pitch in the remainder of the season?
We've been postponed there on November the 21st, December the 19th and February the 15th.
Yeah,
three postponements.
Yeah, I think one of them was because...
Was the first one a Somerset Cup match?
Now, looking back on it, seems ludicrous.
Yeah. I had a little look on the app on my phone that gives me the football scores, and you can go back through people's fixtures. They've had 10 games postponed.
Yeah.
Now, at least one, probably more, because of cup commitments and other teams playing in the trophy or whatever. But even so, on a pitch that's clearly vulnerable to a bit of water... I don't know if it really low lying Taunton.
I don't know.
Taunton generally is a low lying kind of a place. It's on the levels. Yeah. How on earth? How many games have they got to fill?
Talk about the water table. Like Mike Bateson used to talk about the water table all the time.
Did he?
Obsessed with water tables.
The water table. Yeah. Well, the water table at Newton Abbott Racecourse.
That's why he was obsessed with it. Yeah, because it's terrible over there.
If you haven't watched it for a while, if you want to cheer yourselves up, girls fans, go on YouTube and find our crossbar challenge. Then you'll see all about the water table that you know at Racecourse. But we digress.
So how many games have they got to fit in?
20, I believe.
20, them and Truro?
Yeah, I think so. I think they... look, that was a figure that, without checking it up, I heard somewhere this week.
But about 20 games.
It's about 20 games.
There's about 65 days of the season remaining.
Yeah.
So they're going to be playing probably Saturday, Tuesday.
I don't know what might have to play. I don't know what Truro were thinking.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's interesting. I did the back page of the Cornish papers this week, and the statement that Truro put out about moving from Parkway to Taunton thanked everyone. Yeah. National League,
yeah.
Taunton, my mate's mum. But they didn't thank Parkway.
There's been a bit of a falling out.
Yeah, I think so.
What would be to stop them playing somewhere like Coach Road?
I don't think you could play National League level games at Coach Road.
They don't get big crowds, Truro.
No, I know.
I mean, if they were at home to Yeovil,
I think if
like
it
that.
Was a necessity to get the games done, I think that might end up being a thought about scenario. But
I mean, it's just. It's an enclosed ground.
Yeah,
so
you can charge to get in. Yeah,
there's a bit of seating. It's disabled friendly. You can get all around the pitch. You could play.
Yeah.
A Truro game where they play in front of a modest crowd.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
If they were playing somebody, you know, in a case of force majeure, if there was no other.
Has
option,
a team ever played at three different grounds and four? Probably, well, three different home grounds in one
not,
season.
Probably not.
Oh, it'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it? But they're still promising that they're going to be playing back in Cornwall next year, but I'm not sure about that either.
Salt Ash used to have a really nice little ground.
Salt Ash got a half decent ground. There's not big stands there or anything, though, is it?
But they don't have big crowds.
No, but Falmouth have got a big place. But then Falmouth are doing well. Why would they want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Falmouth are now through to the last eight of the FA Vars. They won on Saturday, so they don't want. I mean, I am almost sure that Truro will probably ask Torquay again.
Yeah.
Torquay said no, obviously.
But it's a shambles waiting to happen, isn't it? If they have two or three more games postponed and it'll rain some
fitting
more.
Fitting those games in on that ground is going to be really, really difficult.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to getting up there twice. We have to go there twice. We have to go and...
Yeah, we do.
So we'll get there. So let's have a little look ahead. Braintree on Saturday, the longest trip of the season.
Yeah, my favourite badge.
It's a good badge, isn't it? Sort of a factory on it or something.
Yeah, no, it's the badge that I want it to be rather than the badge it is, the tree with the brain.
Brain tree, yeah. But it's a good badge anyway. It's like Barrow with a nuclear sub on it. That's a good badge. Braintree's got a factory on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Proper working club then.
274 miles to Braintree.
Yeah, it's the longest one, isn't it? Yeah.
It's halfway to Ipswich. It's an awful long way.
It's more than halfway to Ipswich.
Yeah.
It's probably about 50 miles from Ipswich.
Yeah, that's what I mean, halfway from London.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
It's a long old trip. If you're making that trip, fair play to you and enjoy it. They're only 2 points ahead of us. They're in eighth position.
Yeah.
So a win there puts us above them.
Well, we said that last week, didn't we?
Let's be positive. Yeah. They're unbeaten in five games.
Yeah.
As Ian kindly pointed out. They're on a good run. They're on a decent run. Shaquiel Coulthurst is playing for them.
Good player.
Good player. We had him on loan from Spurs. I forgot we had him on loan from Spurs. I couldn't remember where he'd come from. Scored two goals in six games for us in 2014, then got injured.
That's when I was away.
Couldn't quite keep us up that season. Decent player. We liked him. Have you been on Braintree's website?
No.
It's great.
Not yet.
It's great because they've built it to look like a website from 1997. The only explanation is they've deliberately done it that way. It looks like when the internet was invented, kids, in 1997, for anybody who's very young listening to this, websites all looked like Braintree's website.
Okay,
it must be a conscious thing.
Are you sure it's just not bad design?
While we're talking, I'm turning away from the microphone, which is very rude, but I'm going to call up Braintree's website while we're talking. But I know I don't think it's just bad design. I think it's kind of a groovy retro kind of thing. They probably drink craft beer and things up there. You know,
do you reckon?
It's that kind of thing.
Essex, isn't it?
It's Essex. We played them at Playmore on August the 28th, which I think was bank holiday. It was bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, it would be.
Back then when we were all... shiny and hopeful, and we thought we were going to race to the top of the division and scrap with Yeovil for the championship 2-1, title.
Was it?
It was 2-1, you're correct. Jack Stobbs and Aaron Jarvis scored the goals, and it took us into fourth place.
Did it really?
Heady days.
Yeah.
Heady days. We'll just talk amongst yourselves for a while my computer boots up. We'll come back to that. Tuesday, we're at Farnborough.
Yep.
Tunnel?
Tunnel.
Tunnel at Farnborough. I knew you were going to mention Tunnel at Farnborough.
You got in first.
Yeah, their comedy night is tomorrow night.
Oh, brilliant.
The club.
Who's on?
It wasn't anybody I'd heard of. Doesn't mean they're not great, but it wasn't anybody I'd heard of. It wasn't anybody who'd been on Would I Lie to You or anything like that.
Right.
So that old people watch. There's the Braintree website.
God, it is, isn't it?
It's a 90... Oh, it's gone. Something's gone. No, that's my Microsoft Teams coming up. It's a 1997 website, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite good, though. I quite like it. Fair play to them.
I don't.
They've done that deliberately because there's no other reason.
I'm not sure they have done that deliberately. Maybe they've just used used an old template.
No, I think they've looked at everybody else's website and thought, now we're going to do something different. We're going to do something memorable. And they have.
I wonder if that's deliberate or not.
It's a bit short on information. Yeah. There's no... What I went on there for was to see who they've got in their squad, and there's no squad information.
Is it? Well, there we go. It's not deliberate.
It's not. It's not. Well, I kind of like it.
Okay. I hate it.
Farnborough are 16th. They're 6 points behind us. So we should go. We should go and beat them. We should go and hammer them. You've got to. We're 3-0 at Playmore.
Yeah, you've got to.
Two goals from Aaron Jarvis and one from Brad Ash. And again, we were in fourth place at that point.
Okay.
I mean, what are our hopes? Hopes, dreams. 4 points from the two games this week.
I'll take six.
A win and a draw.
I'll take six.
I'd take four.
Would you? What, one from Braintree
and three from Farnborough.
The trouble is, one from Braintree won't be enough for many people.
No, true.
That's going to be the tougher of the two games, though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you'd say that, but
yeah,
Farnborough, who knows? And I had a look through the Farnborough squad when I eventually found it, and I can't see any ex-goals in there this time. But we saw, although Gary was saying this morning that teams are always active in the loan market.
Didn't he? And I've not noticed that. As soon as he said it, I thought, well, when I do my research from my preview, he's right. Quite often, there is a new player being signed that week. Interesting.
Teams fancy their chances against us.
At the moment they do. They must do. Braintree must be rubbing their fingers together.
We're not exactly...
Their fingers? Their hands.
We're not exactly a free hit, but at the moment they will fancy their chances. Yeah. And there'll be a big crowd there because their fans will be wanting to see them beat Gary Johnson's goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting chat about the reserve team. I thought I'd just raise that question because it must be 3 or 4 years ago now. Didn't we get quite close to putting a reserve team in the Peninsula League?
Tim Herbert would remember that because I think he was probably working for the club at the time. But I can't remember why it didn't happen, but it was...
I think actually
the Peninsula League might have said no in the end. I think they got quite badly bitten by Plymouth Argyle's reserves being in... allowing them in and then them pulling out.
Okay. There was some people putting some old programmes up on Facebook this week. I think it was one of the Yellow Army posts that wasn't about the current situation. And they were talking United Reserves programmes from the 60s.
Yeah.
And we put some strong teams out in the Western League.
Yeah,
Fred Binney was playing in one, Mike Mahoney in goal. You know, these great players playing in the reserve side.
We were a league team then.
Yeah.
players didn't get paid as much in those days, therefore you could employ more players.
Yeah.
Squads were, first team squads and reserve teams were quite big.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not so many leagues around for reserves. The combination league was for reserves, like Gary was talking about just now.
Yeah.
You didn't have, you know, college link-ups, under-18 teams that play all over the country, you know. It's a lot more going on.
There is. but a reserve team in which Aaron Jarvis could have played a competitive 90 minutes against a Buckland or a Bridgewater or a Biddeford or something like that the week before coming in would have to be a good thing. Yeah. I know you can't do it, and I understand that, but you know, pie in the sky kind of a way.
Well, Gary agreed, didn't he? He said it'd be the ideal scenario, but it's just not where the club is.
And then you'd have had the likes of Jake Wellington and Thomas Chastey and the young lads who are on the fringes and on the bench would be playing alongside
men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pros in 90 minute muck and nettles games. You every see, week.
It would be beneficial for Jacob to go out, Jacob Wellington to go out and play for Biddeford or you know, or
Dorchester
or Buckland. But he's got too many games already playing for the college team and for the under 18s. So,
it's difficult.
And he won't play against men in those games.
And there's always the thing, I know we used to talk about this as well, and this was one of the things that Dave used to say, is that if you play in that kind of a league, you do stand a chance of getting clattered by somebody who's maybe an older player or somebody who's trying to make a name for themselves, and you lose players that way. Yeah. But I still think, you know, the halcyon days when the reserve team played in the Western League, you'd have had that kind of channel into the team. And so Kevin Dawson, is that close to fitness? Yeah. You know, he's weeks away. Ryan Hansen is weeks away from Nick Crask. They could all be playing a bit in the Western League.
Gary wasn't too forthcoming about who is weeks away, because I think he's been bitten a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, where Achi Mpong and Jake and Jack Stobbs had fitness tests on the morning of one of the games. And I think that might have been the St Albans game, because he was hoping they would play. Mm-hmm. And of course, for that St Albans game, we were also missing Dean Moxie and Will Jenkins-Davis because they were both suspended.
Yeah.
Suddenly, your plans, even on the day, have massively altered.
Well, there we go. So it's been a little bit of a downbeat podcast this week, Rich. But the other thing I was going to ask you about, and I was going to ask Gary about it, but perhaps we'll save it for another time. You've seen all this talk about blue cards being... We've seen blue cards being used in the Western League.
Well, they don't. They're not blue cards. They just... I don't think they're actually blue.
It's the equivalent of a blue card, isn't it? It's a sin bin.
They just sin bin them. Yeah. They don't... I don't think they... I think you tell them to go into the sin bin. I don't think they produce a card at the moment. But it's all rubbish, isn't it?
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Not one league manager will agree with you.
No. I like the idea of cracking down on dissent. Nothing puts you off a football match more than players surrounding the referee. It doesn't happen so much at our level.
No.
But when you watch Match of the Day and you just see this kind of behaviour, you think somebody somewhere has got to stop this happening.
Yeah.
So whether a sin bin is the answer. But what do? You send five Chelsea players to the sin bin simultaneously?
Oh, it's just, honestly, it's not going to happen. I don't think it'll happen, and if it does, it'll be a disaster.
Yeah.
Talking of officials, that offside decision on Saturday when Aaron Jarvis had just come on, it was his first touch, he flicked it and set Brad Ash away.
Yeah.
Brad Ash had no one around him, would have been down, would have been heading towards goal, and the linesman saw a completely imaginary offside. It was nowhere near offside. It's the worst offside decision I've ever seen. And interestingly, when Aaron Jarvis came over to remonstrate with him, and he did for a while, he then put his hand, I saw the linesman put his hands up, and Aaron Downs was remonstrating with him, and it looked like there was like an apology, and then Downs, he went, okay, that's what I was after, and walked away.
Yeah.
And then someone was down, it might have been McGavin, I'm not sure, but someone was down for a while, and Tom Lapsley came running over, and you go, oh, Tom, leave it. He's run right from the other side of the pitch just to have a go at the referee. Spoke to him for 10 seconds and then almost did a thumbs up. I don't think it was a thumbs up, but almost as if the linesman has gone, I made a cock up.
The linos are human, aren't they? I mean,
it was the worst one.
It's a terrible decision, and maybe it cost us a goal. But if they,
I mean, of course, Brad Ash would have had to go on and score, and that is, you know, I wouldn't put money on that either. But
I wasn't going to say that, but there you go. But yeah, I mean, that's you like to see that. If a mistake's been made, just cough up and say, look,
I am at the moment. Yeah.
I've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. So I think we've probably reached the end of the podcast. Julian's having a week off. He's not supplied us with our usual stats bundle. So we can't bring you that. But I think we've gone on quite long enough about that awful Saturday afternoon we spent at Playmore last week.
Yeah, second awful one in a row.
And we look forward to...
something better.
Something better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's hope we've got some points to talk about
this
time next week.
So.
And we'll be back. So we finish. We still keep doing it, though.
Yeah.
Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. For full of pride, buckle up.